Holy Spirit, we pray that you may teach us, challenge us, and equip us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Many years ago, I had a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I was in a classroom teaching. In those days, they were called Junior 4. Nowadays, it's Year 6. And we had in those times often a nature table. And on this table, there were lots of things. And there was also a container. And inside that container were some twigs and things and all that kind of thing. And on one of them, there was a chrysalis. And for those who know about chrysalises, whatever they are, they can turn out to be a butterfly or a moth, okay? And on this particular bright sunny morning, suddenly a child said something. And those of us who were near rushed towards that container. And we saw this wonderful transformation of that chrysalis moving, emerging as a butterfly. Wet wings, stayed for a moment and then suddenly flew. You can imagine what that was like for those of us who saw that on that occasion. What an experience. What a transformation. Well, you know, that's exactly how the disciples felt. What a wonderful thing was happening. What an amazing thing. And a once-in-a-lifetime experience as they were on that mountain. Of course, if you just heard it, it was Peter, James and John. And the account of that transfiguration, as it's in our Bibles, comes basically from those Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. Nothing in John. And it's based basically on Peter's memories. And I'll be using information from all those three Gospels this morning. And this took place in the context of Jesus with his disciples going up a mountain to pray. That's what he was doing. Presumably, it was in the evening because we're told the disciples were very sleepy. Very sleepy. Then suddenly there's this dramatic event occurs and they were fully awake then. There is this transfiguration, as it's called. In Greek, the word is metamorphosis, a changing, a changing. If you look in the dictionary, it says something beautiful or something spiritual, a change, a change. And as we heard, his face shone like the sun. And all the gospel writers describe this differently. His clothes, white as light, bright as a flash of lightning, whiter than anyone could bleach them. Amazing, this change. No wonder it was hard to describe what they had seen, especially as they did it years later as well. And then this second amazing surprise. Suddenly, with this amazingly changed Jesus, was Elijah and Moses. And commentators think that Moses represented the law and Elijah the prophet, the two strands that the Jews valued and knew about so much. And they appeared not just all right, but in glorious splendour. I haven't a clue what that meant, but it was obviously something very special because they had remembered that. And there they are, talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So it's talked of resurrection. Because these people had died many, many, many years before this occasion. They were resurrected as we can be too. We will be too if we trust in him. So, as I say, they seem to represent the law and the prophets. What were they talking about? They were talking about the departure of Jesus. Jesus leaving this world. Jesus fulfilling what God had sent him to do. And literally the word departure is exodus. Going out, leaving, and so on. So that's what Jesus was going to fulfill very shortly through his death on the cross. And as Moses and Elijah were about to leave, Peter says, "Oh, can't we make three shelters for Elijah, for Moses, and for Jesus?" Why did he want three shelters? He wanted them to stay, not to leave. To stay there so that they could retain this beautiful and wonderful experience and time. And they're saying this: it is good for us to be here. Well, it certainly was good for them to be there, but it was not actually what they should be doing. The disciples could not stay. They had to move on, and Jesus would move them on. And that too is a challenge for us. It is easy for us to want to stay in our content with our present situations. We want to stay because it's comfortable, it's all right, it's fine, and so on. But are we ready to let God move us on? No matter what our age is, are we ready to let God move us on? To continue to change us? To change us to be more like him? So to stay wasn't what it was right for the disciples on that day. Then a bright cloud suddenly appears and covers them. And the cloud is often the sign of God's presence. So the cloud covers them. And the disciples were afraid. And they were afraid as they heard the voice of God himself distinctly speaking to them. That may not happen to us in the way it happened to them. And they were afraid. And he said this: "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Repeating the words used at his baptism and referred to, as we heard in our reading, by Peter. Then followed these words recorded in all those three Gospels: "Listen to him. Listen to him." Do we really give time to do that? Do I really give time to God to listen to him? Could be there are pressures of work, not for me actually, but pressures of retirement. It could be pressures of family. It could even be pressures of church. So we don't perhaps listen to him. You know, as some know, I like some here, watching sport. Some of you like watching quiz programs or cookery programs or, all kinds of programs, can't they? Gardening programs. There are so many programs that we can watch and listen to. You could spend all day from the time you got up to the time you went to bed watching programs that you might be interested in. That's an amazing amount out there, isn't there? Crime stories too, or it may be you love reading and reading and reading and finding out more information, all kinds of things. So many things to suit our taste. And of course, there's also things like spending time on a thing called iPad, iPhone, laptops, Facebook, TikTok, watch it, all kinds of stuff. So much out there that we could actually be absorbed in using our time on and with. So if we're careful, we can be distracted and not give the time that we should to listen to God. And we do this, of course, by reading our Bibles, by praying, by meeting with other Christians. Listen to him. Hearing these words, Peter, James, and John were terrified and fell to their faces on the ground. What does Jesus do? He comes to them, touches them, reassures them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Is there anything in your life that's causing you to be afraid or distressed or bothered about in any way? Maybe it's the thought of might you lose your job. I heard a very sad story of someone like that on television explaining about having lost a job unexpectedly, lost a home unexpectedly, and all this kind of thing surrounds us all the time. It may be the trouble with the state of the world or somebody causing you trouble or distress. It could be your own illness or the illness of a family member or a friend. All kinds of things might cause distress. It might be the thought of death. Some of these things, it's not wrong to think about and think, oh, I should be able to sort them all that out. It's okay, I'm a follower of God, it's great. If you didn't read Ruth's letter 2 weeks ago, go back and have a look at that, where she highlights the fact that it's not wrong to bring all these fears and problems and how we feel to God. It's absolutely right. So, why is it right? Because Jesus knows all about our circumstances. He knows how we're feeling. He knows what situations we're in. And as he supported the disciples, so he can support us too and guide us as we bring these matters to him. What an experience for the disciples. It's hard to imagine their emotions, isn't it? Excitement, fear perhaps, bewilderment, and Jesus caring for them, all these things. So they couldn't wait, I think, to tell the others. But Jesus, as he came down the mountain the next morning, tells them they are not to tell anything to their fellow disciples about what had happened. Not until he had risen from the dead. So they had to keep that knowledge of what had happened to themselves. Having seen God's glory in an amazing way, they had to keep it to themselves. From that time, they were changed. The metamorphosis taking place. They were being changed. And they were changed even more at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into their lives and indeed into the lives of the rest of the Christians of that time. They were changed. And then they all went out to spread the good news. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. Isn't that lovely? He's working in us, making us more like him. We may not always notice that. Maybe some others do notice that. So like them, like those disciples, we have to show and share our love of God to others and serve him in the way that he directs and be open to let him change our lives. That service will be different for me as it is for you. He will show us how he wants us to serve him, serve others in that way. So we have to be open to let him change our lives. I know that he has changed my life, worked hard with me over many years, and I'm sure many of you can echo that too, so that we can love and follow him and do as he wants us to do. So as I know he's changing me, I trust you will let him change you too. I'd like to finish with the words of a song written 40 years ago, plus. And it was by someone called Marion Baker, who was a composer, writer of songs, and who was blind. And she wrote this. Jesus, you are changing me. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me as I let you reign supreme within my heart. You may never have heard those words before, so I'd just like to repeat them. Jesus, you are changing me. You're changing Michael. You're changing Barbara. You're changing Ruth. You're changing everybody here who lets you into their lives. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me as I let you reign supreme within my heart. Amen.